So Bitcoin managed to break $108,000, which is a brand new all-time high, before plummeting back down to $98,360. This is the second time Bitcoin has crested the $100,000 mark, but this time it was demarcated by a great deal of spot buying rather than a foundation of derivatives and speculation, which is great news for the remainder of the bull market. There is one fly in the ointment, though, and we'll get to it, but largely, given the macro backdrop and the overwhelming debt load, the fact that the debt ceiling is approaching and the government is about to shut down once again if we do not pass an omnibus spending bill, all of these things are in Bitcoin's favor. All of these play into a very supportive macro backdrop for Bitcoin, a robust economy, supportive monetary and fiscal policy. But there is one thing I would like to discuss with you that could upend those plans, at least for the time being. Let's break it all down. The first thing I want to talk about is the macro environment. So as you can see right here, this is the reaction following the Fed's rate cut yesterday. So yesterday morning, the Fed cut rates by 25 basis points, and it's clear that the economy is stronger than expected. We had several months worth of data that was coming in hotter than expected. And as a result, the Fed cut 25 bips like they expected to, but it's only pricing in two rate cuts next year, 25 basis points in size, compared to just three or four a few months ago, right? And so even though we are still cutting rates, we're revising the neutral rate higher. And so this is an admission from the Fed that the U.S. economy is stronger than anticipated, which the data has been signaling. Inflation is higher than anticipated, and growth expectations into the next year are so high that the every meeting cadence of rate cutting is unwarranted at this point. So the summary of economic projections for December 2024 that were released yesterday is as follows. The key points are that GDP expectations for the end of year 2025 are revised up. Unemployment expectations for EOY 2025 are revised down, and PCE inflation expectations, which is the inflation that the Fed cares about, specifically core PCE for EOY 2025, are revised much higher. And so the year-end 2025 target on average for the Fed based on its dot plots is 4%, and the long-run target is now 3.5%, whereas previously it was about 3%. And so as such, given the higher neutral rate, given that the Fed cut, but they're projecting a higher neutral rate, policy rate expectations via the two-year yield, which you could see there in white, and growth and inflation expectations via the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, which you could see in blue, are higher following the SEP release and the Fed's rate decision and the admission that the cutting cycle will be far more shallow than previously anticipated. And you can see this too priced in the overnight index swaps market. So OIS, these are pricing in about 50 basis points worth of cuts between now and next October, which brings the Fed's main policy rate, Fed funds, down to just 4%, which would be the lowest level in 2.5 years at the time that we reached that level. So we have rate cuts amid a very robust economy, and that's not cause for concern. If we had rate cuts amid a faltering economy, that would seriously be cause for concern. But right now, given what the data is indicating, the economy is very robust. And even if the economy were to deteriorate, we were to about face and move in the other direction, and economic data were to disappoint, the Fed has proven that it can move very swiftly in reacting to these things. So markets would not experience a protracted bear market if the economy begins moving in the other direction. So my base case for 2025, given this is a continued bull market in risk assets, given this still robust and dynamic economy with a supportive Fed and expanding liquidity conditions amid an expanding money supply, interest rates coming down, and fiscal stimulus. But first, let's talk about that liquidity component, because there is a development here that is making some people concerned. So this is Bitcoin and Global M2. If you actually zoom out, Bitcoin became extremely correlated to Global M2 right around when this chart begins, as you can see here. So this is all of the base money for all the major global central banks added up. It's not just US M2, it totals up everything because Bitcoin is a global asset. And as of September of last year, it became really tightly correlated to Bitcoin. Of course, that's when Bitcoin began the meat of its bull run, moving up from like the $40,000 area to 108K where we are now, or actually 98K where we are now. Bitcoin has followed global money supply very closely over these last several months, over these last, you know, call it 15, 16 months. However, it does not mean that it will follow it to the downside. Obviously, it's tracked it with like extremely tight correlation. It doesn't necessarily mean it can move to the downside. Bitcoin's own native factors that I'll discuss later in this post could allow it to dislocate from this and other risk assets. But the reality is Global M2 is currently contracting, at least if you take a look at the last several months. So this chart lags Bitcoin behind by about 10 weeks, 70 days to be exact. And you can see the correlation is pretty stark, right? So Global M2 leads Bitcoin to a pretty substantial degree. That's the reality. If you also take a look at global liquidity, this is the GLI, Global Liquidity Index by Michael Howell. This is the chart of 6-week changes, right? And so global liquidity has been contracting for the last 6-ish weeks, right? And Bitcoin similarly follows global liquidity like it follows global M2 with about a 10 to 12 week lag. And so alongside the money supply, global liquidity is also contracting. And so these two realities may bring Bitcoin into a correction, a larger correction than most people could assume, right? Down to the 90,000, potentially into the $80,000 zone or lower. But this is just the global macro environment, right? We talk about it being supportive in the United States. We talk about a great growth backdrop, inflation expectations rising, and a supportive monetary environment. Not to mention the fact that we're about to pass this massive omnibus spending bill. And even if we don't pass this bill specifically, we will need to approve a higher debt ceiling so that the government can continue to function and not be shut down. That's just reality, okay? So if you have this huge fiscal stimulus on the horizon, you can bet your bottom dollar that even though global liquidity is contracting, global M2 is contracting for now, this may turn in the opposite direction. But this is the primary risk factor. Largely what I'm going to be discussing is why Bitcoin has much more room to run in this market. Now, I know a lot of people watching this video might not be able to understand nuance, but I'm going to try to bring nuance to this video. Because specifically, when I tweeted out this chart here and said, hey, Bitcoin could continue following this to the downside and be in for a deep correction, or it could totally dislocate from this thanks to native buying pressure and, you know, continue to see new all-time highs. People erupted and they called me bearish and they called me all sorts of things. I don't care. I'm going to try to bring you a little bit of nuance today. So let's dissect Bitcoin's second break of 100,000. So what you can see here in this chart is Bitcoin's price in the top pane, the aggregated open interest for futures contracts in the second pane, and then the aggregated predicted funding rate in the third pane. So the open interest, as you can see there, and funding rate on perps spiked, and it drove Bitcoin over 100K the first time around, which led to this very unstable base that got liquidated almost immediately when the price moved in the other direction. As price fell and new stop losses were hit, more leverage longs got forced out of their positions, and Bitcoin flash crashed all the way down to 91K. Now, these leverage longs got wiped out to the tune of $5 billion in contracts. And Bitcoin has spent the last 12 to 14 days building up a more robust base of spot buying. And you can see that here. We saw a huge reduction in open interest and a huge reduction in funding rate, bringing it back down to historical levels. So when Bitcoin was breaking 100K the first time around, there was $33 billion in open interest and a funding rate of 0.07% every 8 hours. And as Bitcoin began its second break of 100K, which you can see there, open interest was about $1.5 billion lower, and the funding rate dropped commensurately to 0.01%, which is its historically normal level, which indicates that this 100K breakout that we're currently experiencing, or at least this base that we're currently seeing, is driven by spot buyers, largely, rather than leverage longs opening up new positions and then getting wiped out when the price moves against them. So it's a more stable base. And with very little froth in the market, Bitcoin is in a much healthier position to stay above, or at least close to, 100K now that the price action is increasingly dominated by spot. Of course, taking these other factors into consideration, like global M2 and global liquidity. So despite the six-figure all-time high, Bitcoin is still quite far from being considered historically overvalued and due for a market top. MVRV compares Bitcoin's spot price to its realized price, which is the average price that all Bitcoin on the network last moved on-chain. And this is used in order to gauge whether the spot price is over or undervalued relative to its fair value. And this MVRV score is further normalized by dividing this difference by the standard deviation of the market cap over time, providing a cumulative measure of how extreme the market value is to realized value. That gives us the MVRV Z score. So regardless of the technical talk, just know that this is a metric that's been widely used to determine whether Bitcoin is over or undervalued cyclically. So this MVRV Z score is currently at 3.4, 3.5x, which suggests that the market is far from overheated at its $100,000 price tag. Historically, this metric has marked significant market tops and at much, much higher levels than this one. In 2017, Bitcoin's MVRV Z score peaked at 11.7x during the height of its bull run, and in 2021, it reached 7.5x before the market corrected. So this pattern indicates Bitcoin typically becomes overvalued and thereby closer to a top when this Z-score approaches 7x or beyond. And if history is a guide, and we can still use these levels, Bitcoin still has considerable room for growth before nearing cyclical, historical overvaluation levels, which suggests that the current phase, I suppose, that we're in is more akin to a mid-cycle surge than a terminal top. And as investor sentiment and demand for Bitcoin continue to climb, which I'll talk a little bit more about, a potential Z-score peak this cycle could exceed 7x like it did last time, which signals much further upside before the market approaches the critical overheated zone. That said, this market, this bull market has been very tame compared to other ones, right? We haven't seen huge, insane $10,000 days like we have previously. That said, this bull market could be more tame. And thereby, as Checkmate said, I think he tweeted it yesterday, at Checkmatey on Twitter, he said the bear market could be more tame as a result of that. So we might not actually reach that 7x mark. We might reach something like 4.5, 5x, 5.5x. That said, if we do reach that 7x mark, Bitcoin would vastly exceed $200,000 at that level. So Bitcoin above 100K, which is the norm for the last couple of weeks, is likely going to be met with a huge surge in retail demand beyond the likes of what we've ever seen before. So as news chyrons become more frequent during this bull run, Michael Saylor makes his frequent appearances on Fox Business, vehicles like the spot Bitcoin ETFs will allow these bull market participants to come from investment accounts, retirement accounts, pension funds, and the like, which is a variable that was not present during prior bull markets. If you take a look at this chart here, this is the daily flows into the spot Bitcoin ETFs on the top. Their assets under management in dollars in the second pane, and then the assets under management in Bitcoin in the third pane. Now, over the last 6 weeks, the spot Bitcoin ETFs have purchased a net 130,000 Bitcoin on behalf of their clients. So the dollar value of their assets under management over this period rose $53.35 billion, which raised the value of their total holdings by 79.1% in a six-week period, which is more than any other ETF product in the United States over that same time frame. And as retail demand continues to surge, expect the sales departments at these ETF issuers to ramp up their activity as well. We just saw BlackRock release a video yesterday detailing what is Bitcoin for their clients who might not know. Now that spot Bitcoin has entered the equity market, the ETFs have been and will continue to be one of the most evergreen sources of buy side pressure that Bitcoin has ever seen. And so with this structural buy side, we may be able to buck some of those larger global macro trends, such as contracting global M2 and global liquidity, but that remains to be seen. This is the first cycle we're experiencing these things. That's why I'm giving you all the information so you can construct your own thesis. Obviously, none of this is financial advice. I'm just trying to teach you the dynamics at play. So imagine the calls that financial advisors are getting from their clients right now and the huge marketing blast from BlackRock and other ETF issuers. That said, the US spot Bitcoin ETFs have now passed Satoshi Nakamoto in total Bitcoin holdings, which makes them the single largest Bitcoin holder in aggregate. These investment vehicles managed to hit this milestone just 1 month shy of being a year old. This milestone was actually hit a few weeks ago. And so if this is the first inning performance of these vehicles, you know, if that's any indication, then demand for Bitcoin and traditional finance has been pent up for quite some time. And with MicroStrategy's convertible notes being oversubscribed at every turn, both equity and debt investors are taking on Bitcoin exposure at a fervent pace. And so the spot Bitcoin ETFs updated as of today hold about 1,140,000 Bitcoin on behalf of their clients, which is over 40,000 more than Satoshi Nakamoto. So I want to show you a tweet of mine from 18 months ago. This was recently sent to me. And at the time, Larry Fink said that Bitcoin was digitizing gold. And at the time, Bitcoin was $592 billion and gold was $12.68 trillion, which is roughly a 21.4x difference. Currently, Bitcoin is $2.1 trillion and gold is $17.8 trillion, which is only an 8.1x difference. So Bitcoin has appreciated nearly 3x into gold size in just 18 months, and it has plenty more monetary premium to soak up before Bitcoin overtakes it. And this corroborates the thesis I've put forward a few times that Bitcoin will demonetize gold both as these two assets grow and Bitcoin outpaces it, but also as capital from gold flees directly into Bitcoin. And this thesis is further validated by the trend in assets under management in both the gold and Bitcoin ETFs over the last several months during this shared bull market that the two assets have had. Gold ETF holdings are in white, total spot Bitcoin ETF holdings are in orange. So total assets in the spot Bitcoin ETFs are now 55% of the value of known gold ETF holdings. So we're 55% of the way there, at least from an ETF perspective. And since October 30th, the total assets under management across all known spot gold ETFs shrank from $233.7 billion to $218.7 billion, as total AUM across the spot Bitcoin ETFs rose from $74.2 billion to $120.7 billion. Despite both spot prices rising, the AUM in their spot vehicles is diverging. So this is a little bit of out with the old and in with the new. People are growing more interested in Bitcoin than they are in gold. So this type of price action screams buy program from one or many global superpowers. There's a credible rumor circulating that the UAE has accumulated 300,000 to 400,000 Bitcoin. Of course, we won't know until they announce that. But if that's true, the United States has some catching up to do at only 198,109 Bitcoin in its holdings. And if you pair that with a rumor of Russia pursuing a Bitcoin reserve strategy, then the United States has its work cut out for it when President Trump gets back in the White House next month. But he may have a shortcut thanks to the Bitcoin Policy Institute. So there was a draft executive order for the U.S. Strategic Bitcoin Reserve that was put forward by BPI, led by Matthew Pines, which fits into the United States' existing exchange stabilization fund framework. So if Trump is serious about playing ball and accumulating Bitcoin before Russia or another one of our enemies can, all he has to do is have this officially drafted and sign it. It's essentially a plug-and-play strategic Bitcoin reserve within hours of taking the oath of office, if he'd like to do it. And as if that weren't enough good news for Bitcoin already, MicroStrategy is set to join the NASDAQ 100 on December 23rd. So MicroStrategy's NASDAQ 100 inclusion means that every index fund or ETF tracking the NASDAQ, such as QQQ, which is the world's fifth largest ETF at $325 billion, will allocate to MSTR. So as investors bid QQQ, and I'll put this up here, they indirectly bid up MicroStrategy's price, which is funneling passive capital into a company whose core strategy is acquiring Bitcoin. They're a self-proclaimed Bitcoin treasury company. As MicroStrategy's price rises due to QQQ inflows, but also direct inflows that will occur as a byproduct of its QQQ inclusion, making it more mainstream and fashionable, its weighting within the NASDAQ 100 will inevitably increase as demand for this leveraged Bitcoin play rises. And so higher weightings will result in more capital allocated to MSTR during periodic rebalancing, amplifying the demand for MicroStrategy shares even more. And their playbook has been consistent: issue stock or debt and use the proceeds to buy Bitcoin. So higher stock valuations driven by passive flows empower MicroStrategy to raise even more capital, accelerating its accumulation of Bitcoin. And this tweet right here, which you can find in my profile, is a little bit of a TLDR, a good diagram of exactly what I just spoke about. So pension funds, endowments, insurance companies, sovereign wealth funds, 401k and IRA participants, your grandma, all of these cohorts are buying QQQ every single week, and now all of them are bidding Bitcoin. And there's nothing that anti-Bitcoin financial advisors can do to stop it, other than stop allocating to QQQ. But then in a few months, once the FASB rule changes and MicroStrategy is allowed to measure their Bitcoin on their balance sheet at fair value, it will get included in the S&P 500 as well. And then these anti-Bitcoin financial advisors will have to stop allocating to IVV, VOO, SPX, once this rule changes, and MicroStrategy probably gets added into them because of its profitable quarters. So Bitcoin is eating the passive index fund market on its way to eating the world. That's pretty bullish. So with the equity market bidding up the spot ETFs and fixed income oversubscribing to every single one of MicroStrategy's convertible offerings, one thing is for certain: demand for Bitcoin has never been so high, and it's only going to grow. And so while we have while we might have a transient pullback as a result of these macro factors, which I just discussed with you, this is only the beginning of the Bitcoin Trojan horse that's making its way into every nook and cranny of traditional finance until Bitcoin financial products are available in every single asset class. So if you enjoyed this video, I'd really appreciate a like and a repost and a bookmark. But also, if you're interested in self-custodying your Bitcoin now that it's more valuable than ever, check out Theia. It's the world's simplest Bitcoin self-custody solution, now available on the App Store and web and coming to Android soon. It allows you to secure your Bitcoin in a simple and robust multisig setup to eliminate single points of failure and lower the risk that your Bitcoin gets taken from you in one way or another during this bull market. That's all for today's video. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.